Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, here we are in the middle of the week. We survived the snowpocalypse. We got just a fraction of what was in the forecast. You and I had made preparations on Sunday maybe to do this remotely, but thankfully we were able to get into the studio and have this conversation in person.
You know, a lot of snow is cool to look at, but when you're shoveling, you're kind of glad that you didn't get what you got.
Absolutely.
It can be kind of tough.
4 inches is much easier to shovel than a dozen, for
sure.
It
is.
Roger, you had an outstanding sermon this past Sunday. You and I have just been bouncing off of each other on this theme, rise and build. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the cornerstone, Jesus the Christ. And this past Sunday, you began building on that cornerstone. Your sermon title was Built by God. And if any of our listeners have not had the opportunity to watch or listen, I would certainly encourage you to do that at charlestownroad.org or in our sermon podcast feed. But you turned our attention to Jesus building the church. Why is it so important that we understand that from a biblical point of view, do you think?
Well, there's the idea of growth and building and the future. That's a business concept. There's a family concept of that. And everybody can just have the wrong idea. Like that big cornerstone we talked about, that's the first stone that has to be placed as you're building a foundation. If it's not set right, everything else is going to be different. You know, that wall you're building may be crooked. That house you're building may fall flat because that cornerstone wasn't put in right. Well, when it comes to understanding what God built, Jesus built the church. If we don't get the right concept of that, then we're going to look at this and we're going to view this with really an unbiblical view. And so our focus was on Matthew 16, verse 18, that simple passage where Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And we walked through those words and really looked at just what is it that Jesus Christ built.
Yeah, I think you and I are very much on the same page in our belief that more than any point in our lives, perhaps, the world needs the authentic church of Jesus Christ. The world doesn't need just another charity or a recreation center or another business. We need the distinctive, unashamed church of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to spend significant time the next few weeks and, Lord willing, throughout this year talking about what Jesus built and how he built it. You started by introducing this fact that we build our lives based on what's in the center, the core of our lives. And we can surround ourselves with many really good activities, assembling with our fellow Christians to worship, reading the Bible, praying, fighting to maintain a good attitude, loving our families. But it's the center that's going to influence all of our choices. And then you brought out a few common things that people put in the center. And I just want to run through this list and ask you, how is putting any of these things at the center of our lives not just a mistake, but a mistake that can lead to some very great danger? Why is it dangerous to put self in the center of our lives?
These are not only going to affect us now, but they're going to affect us eternally.
Yeah.
And when we look at that, you know, the outside surface is what we see. Here's a guy that prays. Here's a guy that goes to worship. Here's a guy that's a pretty good family member. That's what we see. But it's inside, the middle of his heart, the core beliefs, his convictions, is what's going to base all those decisions. So when a person is having self at the middle of all things, then everything he does is based upon self. If I don't feel like doing it, I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I don't feel like it. He's driven by self. And the problem with that is that that's just the wrong cornerstone or foundation to begin with. Jesus, as he described the idea of discipleship, said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Three things Jesus said there. Deny self, take up your cross, follow me. That order is essential. If I follow Jesus first, without denying myself, I'm going to come to an intersection. The Lord says left, but I feel like going right. And if I haven't denied myself, I'm going to go right, even though the Lord goes left. And so the idea of discipleship and all that we do is based upon having Jesus the center of our heart. We'll do things that's uncomfortable. We'll do things that we may not really want to do, but the Lord wants us to do. We see throughout the scriptures, sometimes following the Lord put people in fiery furnaces. It put them in lion's den. And had they had self at the center, they wouldn't have done those things. And that's why Jesus has to be the middle.
Now, what about family? We know how much family means, and we hear people talking about that they would do anything for their family. Now, certainly, we need to value family so much more than stuff, so much more than ourselves. But why is it dangerous to put family at the center of our entire existence?
So here's a summer illustration. Family has gathered together. There's people who've come from out of town. You're going to have a Sunday family reunion. You going to go to worship or are you going to go to family reunion? If family is in the middle of my heart, I'm going to go to family reunion, okay? If Jesus is at my heart, I'll go to worship first and catch up with him later. And again, that's the difference. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus would say in verse 37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And again, that's that idea that Jesus has to be the center. When family is, I'm going to do all that I can to make my family happy. And if it's a choice between Jesus and my family's happiness, I will choose family if that's at the core of my heart.
All right. Number three, what about stuff? We all enjoy stuff, right? Stuff can make our lives easier at times. Stuff can bring us a certain level of enjoyment. But if stuff is at the center of my heart and my hopes and dreams, why is that a bad idea?
And stuff can be defined as money. It can be defined as popularity, power. It can be defined in just a number of different ways. That's why I like the word stuff. It's just kind of all-encompassing. Again, how many times when we come across these words, we find a verse that goes right with it. Here in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, he said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of possessions. Life is more than stuff. And when we die, all the stuff stays here. It doesn't go with us into the next side. And when Jesus comes, all this stuff's going to burn up anyway. So if stuff is the middle of my heart, then I'm going to do whatever I can to get stuff. And again, if it comes between Jesus and stuff, stuff wins if the Lord is not the middle of my heart.
All right, so one more. Happiness. You and I have both heard people say in the past, God would want me to be happy. Why is it such a serious thing to put my happiness in the center of my existence?
And what's interesting is when people say that, they just can't put a verse behind that because that's not in the Bible. God wants you to be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, 15, 16, be holy like I am holy. And so, again, happiness. If that's the middle of my heart, so I'm in this relationship, I'm not happy with who I'm married to, I think I need to be happy more than anything else, then I'll ditch this current mate and find somebody else. If I'm not happy with this, I may break the rules. I may bend the rules. I may do whatever I want to do because me being happy is more important than anything else. And that's not what the Bible teaches. And so whatever's in the middle of your heart, your core, your decisions, your attitude, your behavior, they all come out of that middle thing in your heart.
And I think this is such a valuable thing to think about, especially during this difficult season in our community and our culture around the world, because if any of these things are at the center, not only is it a mistake, they simply cannot bear the weight of significant things that happen in our lives, right? These things, self or family or stuff or my own personal happiness, were never intended to bear the weight of my sin or my self-centered expectations. In fact, they can't bear the weight that comes with a once-a-century pandemic or a cancer diagnosis or walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, that's not to say, of course, that, well, we know all of these have been tried and found lacking, and so we're still looking. No. The message of the Bible is Christ. Jesus is not only worthy, in fact, he's the only one or thing capable of bearing the weight of the center of our lives. Why is that? Why is Jesus more than capable of doing that?
You know, those four things we just ran through, self, family, stuff, and happiness. On a sunny day, they look wonderful, but that's nothing more than building your house upon the sand. And storms come. They always come. They come in pandemics. They come in the death of our parents. They come in health issues, trouble at work, trouble at home. Storms always come. And in that story Jesus told in Matthew 7, the man who built his house upon the rock, the storm still came. The wind blew, the water rose, and the rain was torrential. But his house stood because it was on the rock. That rock is Jesus. So Jesus can get us through storms. We see that in the Bible when they got through physical storms. Jesus was there. He got them through the storms. We think about Psalms 23, about how the Lord is our shepherd. He knows where to take us. He knows how to guide us. We think of passages like the book of Hebrews where he promises he'll never abandon us or forsake us. So why is Jesus the difference? Because Jesus is God. Jesus is the Holy One. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus can do what no one else can do. And so when I have all these nice things surrounding me, that's great. But if the core is not Jesus, when the storms come, my house is going to fall.
Yeah. Roger, I thought a particularly relevant point in your sermon, especially in light of these first few months of 2021 and ongoing recovery from 2020, was warning us against the business view of the church, a very consumeristic way of looking at the church, where one side of the counter serves the other side of the counter, just like in a restaurant or a bank or something like that. One side gives and the other side takes. You warned us against that. Well, what does it sound like when people have a consumeristic business view of the Lord's church?
Well, a person shows up and they go from church building to church building, and what do you have for me? What services do you offer for my family? What can I get from you? That's a consumer concept. When I go to a store, I'm looking to walk out with something that I want, okay? I came to get something. And when we have that consumer concept of the church, then the church is here to serve me. And when it no longer serves me, then I no longer need that church because I'm here to get things. You provide, I will take. That's a business concept of the church. And we would add, you don't find that in the New Testament. That's not the way the New Testament describes the Lord's church. And what it teaches us is it takes God out of the center. Once again, that consumer concept. The idea of the church being a business, that's based on a self-centered type of thinking. What can you do for me rather than what can I do for the Lord? Big difference in those questions.
Yeah. You preached that sermon, you probably got up at about 9:50, but you and I both know that much earlier that morning, we had a front row seat to the very opposite of that, right? Where the vast majority of people who assembled on Sunday morning have no idea who it was, but you and I, getting down here to the church building pretty early, know that a handful of guys got here to clean off ice, lay down salt, so that the big majority of people could just walk up steps, walk up a ramp, and not even think about the condition of those steps that they were walking over. The church is to be made up of servants. We had a great example of that Sunday morning.
Well, and we really do every Sunday. I mean, we walk in the building and we expect the lights to light. We expect the building to be warm in the winter and cool in the summer. We expect everything to be working. And there's no pixie dust falling from heaven that does that. It's a team of people who are serving, going out of their way to make sure everything is operational. We have a huge media team, so we can do our live stream and do things that we can put things out. And that doesn't just happen. It's a group of men who donate their time and their talents because they realize this is the furtherance of the gospel. This is what this is all about. So when we think about the church, it's first and foremost putting Jesus at the center of all things. We gather to honor the Lord, our Savior and our God. Then what we're about is about serving. We're about encouraging. We're about helping each other. And so this idea, well, here I am, serve me, is just a terrible concept. You know, way back in the early 1960s, way before you were even born, Jason, not before me, before you were born, John Kennedy, in his inaugural address, used a statement that needs to be repeated today. He said, ask not what the country can do for you, but ask what you can do for the country. And we've lost that spirit today. And everyone says, you know, what am I going to get out of it? Why should I do it? Why should I be a part of this church? Because what am I going to get out of it? Rather than, I have an opportunity to honor and serve the Lord of Lords and King of Kings.
Yeah. We all, I think, to varying degrees, have a tendency to gravitate towards self-centeredness. If we let ourselves go, if we let our guard down, if we get lazy, too comfortable, complacent, that's the direction that we drift. So any practical tips against or guarding against that consumeristic view? Anything I need to watch out for in my own heart or the heart of my family?
Well, you know, the spirit of what we say, you know, why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? And we start talking like that consumer. The customer is always right. That's what they say in business. Well, in the Lord's kingdom, the Lord is always right. And as Psalms 34, we need to magnify the Lord. We need to emphasize the Lord. And so what will help us through the week and what helps us as we think about this is realize how blessed we are. How blessed we are to be part of God's kingdom. How blessed we are that God says, I'm going to let you do part of this work rather than get out of the way because you'll mess it up. He's including us and inviting us and wanting us to do these things. So being thankful, being kind, being a servant, those are all different ways that we can have the spirit of putting the Lord first in our lives. When we assemble, we need to look around and say, who's here that needs help? Who among us is sick that I could call or send a card to? Who is someone that's not really doing well and I can encourage? So instead of looking inward, I'm looking outward. I first look upward, then I look outward.
Yeah, maybe just adding to that, being humble enough to listen to the little nudges of the people around us who love us and maybe remind us of things that are easy for us to forget. You know, it's easy maybe after you've been to an assembly, you're driving to a restaurant or on the way home, and your family's talking about what you've just been a part of, and you remember, you know, that song leader led a song. I really don't like that song. And then maybe your wife reminds you that, well, maybe that was the widow in the aisle next to you, her favorite song, because that was her husband's favorite song. And just little reminders like that, that even in our assemblies, it's not primarily about me, my preferences, the way I would organize it if it were all revolving around me. It doesn't revolve around me. This is about Christ and what He has built, His people. And that was really the note you concluded on, by emphasizing that Jesus built and continues to build a people. You had three great little summary statements, that these people are living reflections of His faith, living extensions of His work, living illustrations of His heart. Here we are in the middle of a new week. Can you give us a practical example or two of what that's going to look like?
And so, you know, when we hear that Matthew statement, upon this rock I will build my church, we can get the idea of a big institution, a big movement. But what Jesus was building is you. He's building me. And so what that looks like is my attitude as I go about today. And maybe with the weather not being as optimal as I'd like it to be, and maybe with all this COVID stuff still hanging around us, you know, I could choose to have a sour spirit, or I can choose to be like Jesus. I can look around and see, well, here's somebody who's kind of struggling just getting the door open of the store. I can jump right up there and try to help that person out. I can be thankful. I can be useful. That's what it's going to look like practically. Jesus is building me to be like Him. And the way I do that is just going to be manifested in the different relationships I have. Do I come home from work grumpy? And do I complain about everything? Do I see any blessings anywhere? Am I thankful to be married? Am I thankful to have children? Am I thankful for people to look up to me and call me a mom or a dad? You know, it's so many little things like that. Again, to realize that what Jesus is trying to build is you.
Yeah. A practical extension of this, I think, is what gets in the way of a lot of us are chips on our shoulders. And you're actually going to talk to us about that tonight, Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, we're looking at the life of Joseph. It's not a verse-by-verse detailed look. We're just kind of analyzing his life from a distance. And from that, using that theme of ours, rising and building, Joseph is just a prime example, someone who had so many things against him, but he did not let that ruin him. For a lot of people today, they'd be the victim. They would just let that ruin him. But Joseph was kind and gracious and forgiving. And so tonight we're going to talk about the difficult lesson of bitterness. A lot of bitter people today. A lot of people are angry today. We see that. We see that in politics. We see that in some social areas. And I believe Joseph's brothers were very bitter, very angry with Joseph. But he could have been, but he chose not to. So we're going to talk about bitterness, what it does to us, how to avoid it, and how to deal with this concept as we think about it.
That's 7 o'clock this evening, premiering at charlestownroad.org, on our Facebook page, our YouTube channel. But Roger, you've also got the privilege of preaching this coming Sunday morning. It's actually part two of what you started this past Sunday.
Right. So last week we talked about Matthew 16, verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church. We talked about what he built. Now we're going to talk about how did he build it. And what we talked about is he built people. And so the question is, how does he build people? More specifically, how does he build you? And that's what we're going to look at Sunday.
That's this Sunday at 9:30 a.m. We would love to have you in person. Lord willing, the worst of the winter weather will be past us, and there is already work going into making sure we'll have a clean parking lot and clean steps. We would love to have you join us in person. It was so encouraging this past Sunday. I think we had the largest crowd we have had in quite a while, and it is good to see that continue to flesh out all around us. If you're unable to join us, of course, we would love to have you tune into the live stream at charlestownroad.org. Roger, you're doing some good work, and we appreciate it. I appreciate you joining me today, and thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We're looking forward to tonight, looking forward to this Sunday, the best day of the week, and we would love to have you come and grow with us.